Welcome back to the Press Box on Derby Week 2022. And our special guest coming from sunny Florida, Rob Murphy. Rob, Kentucky Oaks, we're going to talk about first in our podcast this week. We're going to deal with the Kentucky Oaks first, which obviously comes first. And welcome back. And it's a big week.
It's a great week. I mean, the buildup to this, weekend of races, it's just all inclusive. I mean, everybody from owners, breeders, stable hands, everybody's waiting to take their big horse over and win one of these big races. It's fantastic.
You know, I mean, we look at the purse structure in Kentucky now, Rob, and we've talked about it several times about how it's grown. And, you know, for a long, long, long time, Kentucky's been known as the beacon of the breeding industry and the place to go to buy your yearlings and buy your bloodstock and breed your mares to the greatest stallions in the world. But now, Kentucky has become a destination location for racing your horses now, too, I think.
Oh, it's incredible. I mean, between the different parts of Kentucky that are their own horse centers and the investments that Churchill Downs just alone has made into their properties, plural, it feeds its way all the way down to everybody that puts their hand on a horse in the bluegrass.
You know, we talked a little offline earlier this week. Since 2014, at six different locations in Kentucky, Churchill Downs has invested in infrastructure alone $1.7 billion throughout just the Commonwealth of Kentucky. And the average is $212 billion per year. It's the numbers of the dollar investment of Churchill Downs in the Commonwealth of Kentucky alone is just off the charts.
And it doesn't take the connecting of too many dots to see it with the purse money that's being paid out on a daily basis and on big weekends like this. It's win-win for everybody all around.
Absolutely. Today's subject, the Kentucky Oaks, Grade 1 Kentucky Oaks, $1.250 million at stake. And I think maybe the deepest, one of the most talented fields on paper anyway for the Kentucky Oaks in many years. It just seems to be chock full of contenders in here, Rob. And you know, and I'll lead you into this discussion because we'll make mention. The two-year-old champion who is undefeated in only one start this year, is the third choice in the morning line.
Wow. That's something. Who are the first two choices?
Well, your favorite, your morning line favorite is Nest, a three-year-old curling filly who just won the Grade 1 Ashland by over 8 lengths. As you and I have talked, and probably one of the largest margins in the history of the Ashland Stakes. This filly, 4-for-5 with a third, that third coming in the Tempted Stakes last year at Belmont Park. Not surprisingly, Kathleen O, trained by our good friend Shug McGahee, comes in with a win in the Gulfstream Park Oaks, formerly known as the Bonnie Miss Stakes. She's never run in a Grade 1. She's the second choice in the morning line.
Boy, it's some type of race when the defending champ, the undefeated defending champ, is third choice, and it just speaks to the quality, really, almost from 1 to 14 here.
Yeah, you know, Echo Zulu is that undefeated champ, daughter of Gunrunner, was 4-for-4 last year. I think I looked at the margin of victory. I think in those four races was over 22 lengths. So really never contested last year. She won the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies by over 5 lengths against an undefeated filly in her own right, Juju's Map. So she takes off. They bring her back, first race back to Fairgrounds Oaks. She wins. She wins by a nose, but, first race back, I think if you look how easily she did it, look at the comment line. It says, ears pricked. I mean, if she had her ears pinned and she was all out in that race, I think it would be worthy of some concern. But she's come back. She's trained great. I think this Daughter of Gunrunner, in my view anyway, is going to get my favoritism in the race.
You can almost imagine the conversation after the Fairgrounds Oaks between Steve Asmussen and Joel Rosario, thinking, boy, you made it awfully close. And he's like, well, you told me not to use everything. So that's you can see that happening. And here she is now. She's had her prep time in between where she's got a couple really strong works. I mean, she's got to be ready to go.
Yeah, I mean, you really going in off that kind of a layout from November to the end of March, you know, I'm guessing 75% to 80% probably cranked. Mm-hmm. Wins a grade two, wins it against Hidden Connection, who many people like a lot in this race as well. She's in against the field as well, in a filly that many thought could beat Echo Zulu in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile last year. I know she stumbled at the gate of that race and lost all chance. But, you know, Echo Zulu, look at the horses she's run up against. Look at the quality of the races she's run in. I just have a hard time believing there are the betting public is going to let her off as the third choice. I'm hopeful that they do, because I'm going to be all over Echo Zulu. I just think she's got world class talent and world class class going into this race.
You know, the only tough part is with Rosario, you and me on her back might be the toughest hurdle she has to face.
You know, she's got speed and, you know, and probably controlling speed. But, you know, in all of her races, she has made the lead. The one time that she didn't right out of the starting gate was in the spinaway. She broke from the third hole and was ninth early, but it didn't take her long to make the lead in those races. Rosario has been on her twice. He's won both times, obviously. I just think, you know, that she has the ability to probably break from there running. And if you look at the depth of the race, I don't see a lot of other fillies that are going to hunt the lead against her.
You know, there are some horses that have ones in their PPs for sure.
Right.
And they've all got to be thinking, boy, if we run with Echo Zulu, we're going to get cooked. So, you know, they may just sit back and hope for the best, and then it plays right to what their connections are looking for.
You know, if you go past Echo Zulu and you look at the two horses that are favorite over Neff, being the morning line favorite made by Mike Battaglia. Daughter of Curlin trading by Todd Pletcher. He's now won three in a row, won the Ashland in a hand ride. Don't know the quality of the horses that ran behind her that day, but she still accomplished her goal. The last two wins by a total of 14 lengths. You know, this will be the biggest test for her, obviously, I think, in the progression of her career.
You know, this is another one of the fillies in this race that has an outstanding pedigree. I mean, by Curlin, out of the mare by APND. I mean, you look at the pedigrees here, whether it's up-and-coming sires, you know, Airgate, Connect, Upstart, or fillies by Medaglia d'Oro, Curlin, and then out of, you know, these great mares. I mean, you know, Uncle Mo filly at the bottom of the field. You know, it's just going to be deep all the way around. So
who's going to be able to really finish off that last eight? I mean, a lot of
them have the pedigree to do it, that's for sure.
You know, you mentioned AP Indy. I know that this is a sire line that you have tracked in your studies, pedigree research, and, you know, the AP Indy line. How important has he been in terms of having an influence, particularly on the female set?
It's incredible. I mean, from Seattle Slough forward on that line has been so strong because you've got AP Indy, he sired Pulpit, he sired Tappet. I mean, it's as strong as you can get for a line that some people thought was ending back not that long ago. And they bring everything to a pedigree that you want. And so many of these fillies, you know, have that relation. And even when we start talking about the Derby, there are at least seven horses in the Derby that trace to AP Indy and Seattle Slough. So it's very prominent now and can't see it going away in the future.
You know, the second choice in the morning line is Kathleen O. a daughter of the moon, young stallion Upstart. I think stands over at Air Green now. But out of a blame mare, so you get some distance, some longevity in the pedigree through the blame mare. The blame mare with stakes placed. Campino undefeated, 4-for-4, trained by Suge McGahee, so you know Suge is going to have this one ready to go. The guy has been around a lot of really good horses in his lifetime. He knows how to get one ready for the big race.
You know, we're talking about Hall of Fame connections and an undefeated horse, you know, coming out of the Gulfstream Park Oaks, which we talked about earlier. It's like, you know, the race doesn't have the longest history because of the fact they changed the name, and it used to be the Bonnie Miss. And there were some pretty good fillies that won the Bonnie Miss through the years. I mean, the Shug won the Bonnie Miss, I mean, 4 out of 5 years back in the 90s with Glitter Woman and My Flag and Inside Information and Dispute. And, you know, Gulfstream's had a change of racetrack. They've had a change of schedule with their prep races for three-year-olds, Colt Fan fillies. And now that this Gulfstream Park Oaks has been put 5 weeks out from the Kentucky Oaks, it's now a prep for the Oaks. It's not what the Bonnie Miss was. And, you know, you don't have to go too far back and look at, you know, quite a filly coming out of the Gulfstream Park Oaks named Swiss Skydiver. So it's a good race, and this filly's, again, undefeated. Who, nobody's put their head in front of her, so you can't look past her one bit on Friday afternoon.
Absolutely. You know, a horse we can't dismiss or not mention, Secret Oath, draws the rail for trainer D. Wayne Lucas. He tried the boys last time out in the Arkansas Derby. You know, Wayne Lucas having trained a filly to win the Kentucky Derby. There were some thoughts that if she could win the Arkansas Derby, get the points, you might become the first filly to race in the Derby since the instituting the point system. And I thought she ran a tremendous race. Got really probably the worst trip of any horse in the race. Just gave up second right at the wire. You know, they're getting had the widest of all trips, six wide at one time. Bothered at the break. I mean, anything and everything happened to her. This daughter of Arrogate has trained, I think, well. She had a nice work at Churchill Downs on April the 15th. You know, why isn't she getting more credibility? She's 6-1 in the morning line and comes in off a tremendous race against Colts. And everybody's talking about Cyberknife as a potential sleeper in the Derby.
When she got off to the poor start and then had to go wide in the Arkansas Derby, it's like, well, she's in trouble. Yep. And then she passed horses pretty quickly going through the far turn. And I thought she was going to be able to pass Cyberknife. Course, she got to that point where she stopped making up ground, and like you said, she just gave up second at the end. If you like Cyberknife at all on Saturday, you've got to like this filly a lot. And let's see, jockey change from Contreras to Saez, that's a positive.
Absolutely. You don't have to go back too far. Look at back in December of 2021, December the 31st, New Year's Eve. She beats a filly by 8 1/4 lengths named Matara. I think Matara runs in maybe the eight bells a race earlier on the card, and I think she may be one of the favorites. Yeah. I'm looking back through my PPs real quickly, but I think Matara is going to be a big, you know, one of the favorites earlier in the race day. Maybe it's I'm looking, trying to find her as we talk, but I'll let you talk about, oh, yeah, it's Matara, trained by Brad Cox, is in the eight bells. She's 5-2, morning line favorite to after winning the Beaumont, which is a grade three race over at Keeneland, by 8+ lengths. If you look at that race and Matara jumps up and wins the eight bells early in the card, doesn't that have to give you some more confidence betting the Secret Oath here?
No question about it. I mean, you can't really look past her. I mean, it's, you know, when a guy like Wayne Lucas puts his filly in against the Colts, well, you know, all you have to do is look to history and see that he did it with Winning Colors. He did it with Lady Secret. I mean, it's a big step, and she showed a lot of promise there. And now stepping back into her own group, she could have a significant edge here.
You know, we could go through this entire field. I did mention earlier Hidden Connection, trained by Brett Calhoun. I think the world of Brett as a trainer. He's won a lot of races in a lot of jurisdictions. You know, he's faced Echo Zulu a couple of times, come up short in the Breeders' Cup when we talked about bobbling at the start of that race. But, you know, having run second to her by a nose in the Fairgrounds Oaks, 20-1 morning line, I think, you know, in my handicapping, I got to use her at least underneath Echo Zulu in this race, the Kentucky Oaks.
You have to. When horses run that close to each other, you can't completely throw one out. If even if they've been within a couple lengths of each other, I mean, just running through a turn, if one horse is inside and one horse is outside right next to each other, and the next time they're flipped, that's a couple length difference just going through one turn. So it's something to always consider when a horse is at least within a couple lengths there.
I'm going to throw a curveball. You know, you being a former major league pitcher, you didn't throw a curve. You threw more of a split fingers and as your breaking pitch. But what about Shahama racing for the first time in this country, coming from Dubai, lands in the barn of Todd Fletcher, daughter of Munnings. She's undefeated. What do you make of Shahama coming into the Kentucky Oaks and facing this kind of field?
No, it hasn't been the winning profile to this point.
Right.
And she runs in the middle of February in Dubai. She's Palm Beach Downs at least six weeks later. And she's put in a real steady string of works. Actually, for any Fletcher horse to work a minute and change, usually that's telling you something right there, because he's very conservative across the board with his works. I mean, 49 and 102 is about all he wants with most of his horses. So she's had to have shown him something. You know, gets Flavian Pratt to ride him. There's, again, the connections here could be enough to get this horse near the money.
We talked about, I think, the top five in here, if you look at just pure numbers. Anything else jump out at you? Bill Mott's got one in. I know there's a lot of good trainers, a lot of good horses. Fletcher's even got a third in here with Goddess of Fire. Anything else that that jumps off the paper as you did your handicapping and pedigree research?
You know, beyond what we've talked about, the next one that shows up in my numbers is Venti Valentine. You know, filly with a little bit of speed. She's run close to Nest. She's run close to Nostalgic. And, picking up a hot rider in Tyler Gaffleone, it's, she's got a little bit of speed. She could be one of those that could be the first to attack Echo Zulu, and that could leave her in a great spot once they turn into the lane.
You know, you look back, I always love that you have an insight or two that is opposite of where I've been or am. But, you know, that race against Nest, she only got beat in neck to end the 2021 campaign in the Demoiselle up at Aqueduct. And, she didn't have the easiest of trips in there. In fact, if you look at the comment line, I think, you know, maybe she had a few traffic issues in there as well. Tyler Gaffrione, I don't know if there's a hotter rider in the world right now.
It's amazing. Whether it's a starter allowance race or a grade one stake, he's getting good mounts, and he's getting the job done. Let's see, what's it say, 28% of the time or 19% of the time in 2022? That's pretty sharp.
Yep, there's one that just jumped up in my on my board as well. Thanks for that insight. How are you going to play it, if you are going to play it? Are you going to put a friendly wager down?
I am going to be light on a wager here. You know, I think we've got some questions that still need to be answered. If I end up twisting my own arm, I could end up taking two or three of these fillies we've talked about and playing an Oaks Derby double with one of Todd Fletcher's horses.
One of Todd Fletcher's horses?
One of Todd Fletcher's.
In the Derby. That's a teaser. We're going to leave it at that and make sure that the people come back and listen to our next episode here at the Press Box. A Todd Fletcher horse in the Derby. Could it be Charge It? Could never be. Raced as a 2-year-old.
Could be.
Thanks, Rob. Appreciate it, buddy.
You bet, Gene.
Thanks, man. Talk to you soon. See you, buddy. Yep.